Okay. I'm convinced that funding the kingdom is fun. So I'm going to talk to you today about stewardship. That is a term that means we're managers of the resources that God has given to us. Our time, our talents, our treasures are all gifts from God to us to manage for Him. Now, I'm convinced when my dad lived in his own home, which he did up to about a year ago, that he received more junk mail than anyone I've ever seen. He would get 5 to 10 pieces a day of junk mail. That seemed like a lot to me. Most of them were requests for financial support and assistance. And admittedly, they were good causes. Most of them were Christian ministries or other good organizations. It seems like everybody wants your money. And we've all heard the high sales pitches that are so pressure-packed, or they pull on our heartstrings. So what does the Bible say about giving? I'm going to keep it very simple today. Giving is the essence of Christianity. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave. God is a giver. And when we give, we're like Him. And so God wants us to learn to be givers so we can be like Him. The word give, or its derivatives, is used about 2,100 times in the Bible. More than the word believe or pray or love. It's used a lot in the Bible. Christianity is about giving. And when Jesus talked about giving, which He did more than heaven or hell, by the way, He talked a lot about our motive for giving rather than the amount. That I would be intentional in the why of my giving more than how much. The quality of the giver rather than the quantity of the gift. So my attitude in giving is more important than the amount. If I have a bad attitude, I might as well not give. My attitude is so important in being a giver. Giving is a responsibility, yes, indeed. But it's also an opportunity. Giving is to be a response to what God has done for me in the past. Giving is to be a response for what God is doing for me in the present. Giving is to be a response for what God will do for me in the future. That's it, really. It's quite simple. It's not for me to get rich, that's the reason why I give. It's not for making me feel like I'm a really good person. It's not so my name will be on a little plaque somewhere about how much money I gave. It's not because I feel guilty and I'm supposed to give and I should give, so I'm doing it. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is where I'm going to camp out mostly this morning. That's a great section on this topic of stewardship or giving. If you'd like to delve into that deeper, do a deeper dive into giving, I would suggest you start there. So let me read the first passage from there. 2 Corinthians 8:7. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace or giving also. Excel in giving. That really jumped out to me. How do I excel in anything? Well, practice. I continue to do it. So what was kind of a new revelation for me was that I can excel, I can grow in my giving. I guess I've never considered that before. And maybe you haven't thought about that either. Maybe you just say, well, I am who I am. This is what I give. This is the kind of, I'm not a very giving person. No. Paul is saying you can excel, you can grow, you can get better in giving. So giving, number one, allows me to express appreciation for past blessings. Giving allows me to express appreciation for past blessings. It's like saying, God, I'm grateful to you for all that you've done for me, which is a much better attitude than the entitlement attitude we see so much in our culture. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's that attitude of giving. Not because I've been pressured, not because I feel guilty, but because I want to say, thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. We'll never pressure you here at Hanover Friends in your giving. Well, we may tell you what the need is, and we'll just trust that God will work in your heart to what you should do. God is the source of all we have. He's the source of our life. He's the source of our abilities. He is the source of all resources. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Jesus Christ gives to us first, so that we have resources then to give to others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Think about all that God has given to you. How can you use those resources then to help others? Giving is a way to show appreciation to those you love. And we give to God's kingdom work, we express appreciation to him. God, I love you. I am grateful for how good you've been to me. 2 Corinthians 8:8. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. And those two chapters were about the Macedonians giving to others in need. So we prove our love through our giving. We put our money where our mouth is. Secondly, giving allows me to examine my priorities in the present. Giving allows me to examine my priorities in the present. Giving helps me to think beyond my own needs to the needs of others. By nature, we're selfish. We have a tendency to think or ask, what's in it for me? Like the guy in Luke 12. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Me, I, my barns, my crops. He could only think about himself. So we need to examine our motives. Giving helps us to do that. Periodically, I need a values checkup. I need to look at my motives and priorities again. Am I living for self? Have I kind of fallen back into that mindset where it's me and my crops and my barns? Giving helps me let go of some of my security. We put so much of our security in our money, in our income, in our wealth. It again reminds me that I'm merely a manager of God's resources. It reminds me that I do value the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I don't need to seek all those things. If I seek God and his kingdom first, that's my first priority, then all these things are going to naturally come my way. Since I was a small boy, my parents taught me to tithe. I would get a dollar allowance, and my mom and dad would tell me and teach me to put a dime in the offering plate, which I thought was a big sacrifice for me. You know, think about it. I could have purchased 10 pieces of Bazooka bubble gum that I was foregoing because I was putting it in the offering plate. I remember being a teenager and getting laid off from a job, and I would get a little tiny unemployment check, and I would still tithe on that because I thought, this is something I need to do, but something I want to do. God has been so good to me. So does God really need my dime as a little boy? God is like waiting, say, man, I could do great things in the world if he'd only put his dime in the offering plate. No, it was good for me to give. It was teaching me, keep my selfishness in check. Or I would simply have bought 10 more pieces of bubble gum. Money represents our life, and God wants our life. He wants our devotion. He wants our very best. He wants us. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is bragging on the Macedonian church, and he's telling the Corinthian church to whom he's writing, you guys should take notes from these guys. They're doing really great. And he gives an example to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8, 3 to 5. For they gave, the Macedonians, according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. They weren't pressured, cajoled, made to feel guilty, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. That is, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. They had good motives and they gave the right way. They gave themselves to the Lord. They gave first of all. Their priorities were right. They had good motives. Their heart was on the Lord and they did it for Him. And then secondly, they gave their money. God doesn't need or want your money as much as He wants your heart. It's good for us to give. It keeps us from being selfish Scrooges who think that the world revolves around us. So why do we give? Because of guilt? No. Because we've been pressured? No. Because of some sob story we heard? No. We give because we're thankful to God for past blessings that He has given to us and because it helps keeps our priorities in order. Luke 16:11 says, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? Stewardship and spirituality are really connected more than we realize. The one influences the other. Many Christians may wonder, why am I not growing in my faith? They've never considered it could be connected to their lack of giving. They never ask the question, who really owns me? Whose am I? That's the idea of stewardship. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. It all belongs to Him. I manage His resources. He's over everything, my time, my treasure, my talents. Thirdly, giving allows me to enlarge my expectation of the future. Giving allows me to enlarge my expectation of the future. Giving is threefold: past, present, and future. Gratitude for past blessings, keeping my priorities straight in the present, and demonstrating my faith in God in the future. We express our expectation of God's continued goodness in tomorrow. That's faith. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Paul tells the Corinthians the analogy of the farmer. Think about the farmer. He goes out and sows his seed. He plants seed in the ground. If he plants few seeds in the ground, he's going to have a small crop, right? If he plants a lot of seeds in the ground, he's going to have a big crop. He can expect that. If I give a little, what can I expect? A little. If I give a lot, what can I expect? A big crop. Sowing is reaping is found all throughout Scripture. Luke 6:38, give, and what? It will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I reap in proportion to my giving. So giving is one way I can express faith in God's future provision. Let's say I give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. That means, literally, I have 10% less money in my pocket to use. But by my faith, I've released God to bless my faith and to bless the 90%. God can do more with what I have left than He can, than I can do with that 10%. He could give a 30-fold return, a 60-fold return, a 100-fold return. He could give us more than we need. Giving demonstrates my faith. It's like planting seeds. It's like putting a deposit in the bank. If I don't put a deposit in my bank, I'm not going to earn interest. I'm not going to have a return. If I don't plant any seeds, I'm not going to have a crop. It's really quite simple. Giving is an investment in my future. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Proverbs 19:17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." The Bible is clear. As I give to others in need, God will see me when I'm in need and give to me. In fact, everything we do will be rewarded. Matthew 10:41-42. "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Sowing and giving. When I receive different people into my home, into my heart, as I minister to them, as I give to them, God blesses me. As I remember the poor of the world and help them, God sees me and will help me when I'm in need. I can't outgive God. He always pays better interest than the bank does. I find that the more I give to him of my time, treasures, and talents, the more he gives back to me. The prophet Malachi said in 3:10, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." The prophet is challenging the people to start tithing again. They had stopped doing that, and they told the Lord, "We've stopped because we're too poor." And God says, "No, if you will plant that seed as you will do it, I will bless you abundantly." In fact, God says, "I dare you. Put me to the test and see if I won't do it for you." You can't outgive God. So what are you expecting God to do in your life today? How much do you really want God's blessing in your life? How much are you expecting God to act on your behalf? I would say, look at your giving. Is it pretty puny? Is it expansive? Sowing and reaping. I'm blessed as I sow big. Abundant living depends on abundant giving. Not because I feel guilty, but as a way to say, thank you, God, for all you've done for me, as a way to keep my priorities in check, and as a statement of my faith in a miracle-working God. We'll go into debt because we believe in ourselves and our ability to pay in the future. It may take us 30 years to pay off our house that we went into debt for, or 5 years to pay off our car that we went into debt for. We say, I'm good for it. We believe in ourselves that in the future we will pay up, which scripturally may be a little presumptuous because we don't know what tomorrow holds. James said, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." If you're in debt today, I would encourage you, get out of debt. Work at it little by little. But don't stop giving because you're cutting off your source of blessing. I can give by my reason. Let me see, what do I have left in my pocket? Or I can give by revelation. God, what do you want me to give? But by giving to God, I put my faith in him. I will trust God that he will provide for me in the future. I love the story of the widow in Mark chapter 12. She does that very thing. He, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and he could tell that because they put in coins. So in the brass receptacle, it would make a lot of noise. And the rich guys liked that. Everybody would turn and look at how much he was putting in. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Didn't make much of a sound. And he called his disciples to him and said, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." See, she gave by faith, believing God would provide for her in the future. She gave everything she had. Maybe what she had was going to eat for supper. She put it in and knew that God would come through for her. And Jesus saw her, just like he sees us every day, every moment. The amount she gave was small. It was so small, less than a penny. But her faith was great, so great that it impressed Jesus, who said, "This person has great faith. They believe in a great God who's going to provide for her." 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." Paul gives some real practical tips here for giving. Let me share these with you. First, it ought to be regular. My giving ought to be regular, systematic. On the first day of the week, that's every Sunday. Set it aside weekly. I'm systematic in my giving, not spasmatic. I'm not giving God a tip. We give the waitress 20% and God 0.5%. It ought to be planned. Secondly, it ought to be planned. Put something aside and store it up. It's not based on emotions. It isn't because I heard a sob story that made me so emotional I just quickly gave everything. I thought about it. I had a plan. I had a determination. And the amount is up to you. But it's not done hastily or impulsively. Third tip from Paul, it ought to be proportional. As he may prosper, he says. Or another translation, in keeping with his income. Has God blessed you a lot? Then give a lot. Has God blessed you a little? Then give a little. It's in proportion, a percentage. Deuteronomy 16:17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. In proportional giving, for me, a starting place has always been the tithe. I shared that with you as a little kid. That has been a percentage that I feel like works for me. It's a percentage I encourage you to consider. We tithe to our church. But then we give monthly gifts over and above our tithe to ministries that we really believe in, the work they're doing. We want to support them. And then above that, we give alms to the poor as a need arises. Planned and proportional giving. So I give to say thank you to God for all he's done for me. Lord, here's a portion of what you've given me out of your abundance. I'm giving it back to you as a way of saying, I love you, Lord. Thank you. I give to make sure my selfishness is being kept in check. My giving reminds me that God is first, not me. That people are more important than things. And thirdly, I give to enlarge my expectation of who God is. God is really big. He's bigger than I can think or imagine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Is anything too hard for the Lord? My giving then becomes an act of my faith in this great God that I know that he will provide for all my needs tomorrow. I'm making an investment in my future by giving. I'm making a deposit in my tomorrow. Now, for some of you, this is old news. You know all this. You've been doing this all your life. Good for you. Keep it up. For some of you, maybe this is new information. And so to you, I would say, rather than asking you to commit to do something, I would just simply say, think about what I've shared with you. dig into the scripture. What does the scripture say about this topic of giving, which is quite huge in scripture? Some 2,100 times the word is used, so it's pretty big and pretty important. So think about what I've shared and pray about it, and then ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I excel? How can I grow in my attitude of giving? Let's pray. Lord, I know I'm challenged by 2 Corinthians 8:7. See that you excel in giving. I want to excel in other matters of the faith too, but I want to excel in that area and not fall short. Lord, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for their generous hearts that they've displayed over the years and will continue to. Lord, I thank you that you are a great God, and those who are giving sacrificially to your work here and abroad are trusting you, that you are their provider. You are their source. We keep our eyes on you, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith, in all areas, and in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand and sing.